voice messages. First voice message.
What's going on, dude? You son of a bitch.
You can't stop it.
I gotta say that today.
End of message.
I got a big plan. Big idea, bro. Big idea.
Message erased. Next message.
We're still here. Enjoy it. It's ODG. Occupy Dave and Giggles.
End of message. Next message.
Seriously, guys. Fourth.
You know we do a radio show, right?
I just want to say that we never claim to be a comedy show. We just entertain.
You son of a bitch. I'm freaking out. Freaking out. You look so good right now.
Give me a chance you want to leave.
Dave and Giggles. Dave and Giggles.
Really big.
Message erased.
One, two.
You look good over there.
You look good.
You look really good over there. Happy Father's Day, buddy.
Thanks, buddy.
Oh, man. How did you... all right, well, we'll get into it. We are the Dave and Giggles Show. We have one dad in the group and a whole bunch of people who are in the Dead Dads Club.
It grows every day.
It grows every... Literally, it grows every day. So what'd you do for Father's Day? Did you mow the lawn? What'd you do?
No, I drove back from Vail with the family. We went up there for a wedding on Saturday that I photographed. So that was pretty cool.
Nice. Yeah. Vail. Yeah. How was Vail in the summer? I bet it's pretty nice up there.
Oh, it was gorgeous. I got some epic photos. But the thing, these people get married up on the top of this mountain.
Yeah.
And it's like they got like 3 to 5 couples getting married every day there.
Damn.
So like it's just you'll see like other brides, which is always weird when you're walking down with the one couple. And then there's another, you know, there's another bride and groom. And you always kind of judge them a little bit.
Sure.
You're always gonna be like, oh, well, her dress isn't as nice.
Terrible. You know? Does anyone ever go, well, she's obviously better looking than me. Is that you get that a lot?
Well, so I left my stuff in this like little waiting room, you know, when I met the bride there.
Lucky it didn't get stolen.
Shot the wedding and I came back. But by the time I got back there, there was this other bride in there And so the planner was like, hey, just so you know, there's another, you know, bride in there. Your stuff's off to the side. I was like, oh, okay, cool. I walk in there. I'm like, excuse me. I just need to get my bag here.
Oh, no.
She's pissed. Just pissed.
You ruined her wedding.
Pissed.
You ruined her
really
wedding.
Nervous, but she was just not like not happy.
No.
You know, I was just like, ugh.
I mean, geez. That's the thing that I don't understand. Like your profession, you probably what do you think the percentage is of like bridezillas versus like just relaxed, chill brides?
It's probably 50-50.
Yeah, it's probably 50. I mean, there you go. That's the thing. You're going into a situation where it's going to be 50-50 on whether or not the people that you are working for that day are going to be absolutely crazy. You know, that would scare me as a yeah. You know, someone working for someone. It's wild. It's wild. So you had a good
well,
dad's day. I got no
you
one
got
in studio right
studio?
Now, but they're going to call in. We got a guest calling in.
Is it just you and me?
Just you and me for now, until the guest calls in.
Somebody else's dad died while we're talking about Father's Day. We should play the clip of the Father's Day show with my dad.
You should play it.
But somebody else's dad. That's right. Yeah, never mind.
What?
What's his name?
Who?
Michael Ronstadt's dad passed away a few months ago.
Oh yeah, so. I remember that. You should text him. Yeah. Tell him to call in. He's a good dude. Good dude.
He's a good dude.
Part
he's
of the Ronstadt
try to call in or be our guest July 2nd.
Oh, nice. Part of the Ronstadt crew. I know he just made an album with like his whole family, and Linda was part of it. She helped out on it. So we'll talk to him when we.
He's never a part of it. Linda doesn't want to be a part
of
it. I don't think Linda.
Last time I talked to him, he said she was help producing it. Like, I don't think really? She did anything on it. She just kind of like helped out with studio stuff, and she knows friends and she called them up. That's what I remember, but I could be way off base. We'll ask him when we talk to him. But our guest today. Is a lady from Queens, and her name is Tara Clancy. Tara Clancy is the host of The Moth on NPR. I think she does the live shows. And The Moth, if anyone is not familiar with it, is storytelling. It's like a storytelling. So I think at the Bell House, they do it at the Bell House a lot. So they'll do like live storytelling. They'll go down there and they'll have all these storytellers come down and tell her stories. And then doing my research on her, she's won like all of New York's greatest storytelling competitions. She's like one of the best, which is why she's now hosting the live NPR's The Moth. So that's kind of...
She's calling in?
She's calling in, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I got that guest.
I
produce.
If she does call in. Let's see. Let's see if she does.
If she does. Well, we'll find out. I emailed her today. She said, send me the number. So we'll find out. You know, producing. I'm trying to produce, you know? Jeez. Man.
You gotta produce.
Gotta produce. So you coming up here soon or what? Coming to New York?
Well, hold on. Switch this. I'm only getting it out of one ear. Ugh. If I go through the fast track, but that's all right.
Jeez. It's problems on that end.
What do you call it? I may come there July 7th for a wedding, but this guy hasn't emailed me back. And
I feel like that's what happened last
time. He's like, well, what if we only do, 7 hours? And I was like, listen, man, it doesn't matter how many hours you have me for. It's 3 days out of my, my week to come to a wedding.
I know. You got to make it worthwhile.
I got to fly, you know?
Yeah.
So, I was like, this is how much I got to make to do your wedding.
That's
it. And it doesn't matter. And, 7 hours or 10 hours, it's going to be around the same price because it's just,
True. I know. Well, I mean, you got a free place to stay. You can't beat that, I guess, right?
That place is so great. Somebody was like, oh, you could stay on my couch. And I was like, no, I got my own room.
I got my own room.
I got a key. That's the best. Because,
I don't think
I've slept on a couch in years.
Well, I mean, I feel like they're at the age where if you sleep on a couch, there's something wrong with that situation. You know, like we're too old to be sleeping on couches, Like,
yeah.
If I'm going to go somewhere, I would love to see all of my friends. But at the end of the day, I'd want a bed to go into. I don't need a couch to crash on. I'm not going to get so messed up that I need a couch to crash on because I don't care how it feels. I'm just a little too old for that, head to toe.
Well, the bed, head to toe. The bed in that third bedroom is a couch. It's just folded down.
Yeah. Well, we're looking into getting a new futon in there. So you might get lucky. Maybe a new futon.
Let me know if you want me to pitch in on that.
All right.
If I'm starting to stay, you know, I don't mind, you know, pitching in $20 every time I stay for some paper towels, toilet paper.
I love it.
Maybe to get you to clean the bathroom a little bit.
I did today. Here's our guest. All right. So Tara Clancy's calling in. We'll talk Tara. Touch base Tara, with her. Right? Tara. Yeah.
Hey.
Hey, Tara. What's happening?
What's happening? How's it going?
It's not going bad, I think. What's going on with you?
Oh, nothing. Oh, you know, just winding down over here. I got my two sons in the other room. I've got them watching TV.
Nice.
So I can talk to you.
Cool. If they get rowdy or out of hand, don't feel like you have to stay on. Go take care of the kids. I understand, you know?
Thank you. That's good to know. I bought myself a little bit of time here with a little TV. So
very cool.
It'll be all right.
So Tara, you're host of The Moth, which is the one that's on the radio or the one that plays down at the Bell House?
Oh, well, The Moth is in a lot more places than the Bell House. So
right.
I don't host the Bell House is the home of the Brooklyn Story Slam.
Right. And you're the you're like queen of the queens, right? That's
I don't know about that, but
right.
I host the main stage shows pretty frequently, I guess. But so do a bunch of other people, and those are the shows. Those are the bigger shows, and they happen all over the country and out of the country too.
That's awesome.
So those are the ones that I host. I don't host the slam.
Cool.
Those are a little bit different. Yeah.
So you host the competition shows?
No, I don't. I do not host the competition.
Okay.
Shows.
All right. Gotcha.
I host the longer stories, the kind of bigger theater shows, and yeah.
That's really
cool.
And
then I just hosted the Moth Ball this year.
The Moth Ball.
Nice,
I love that. The Moth Ball.
The cleverly titled Moth Ball.
Very cleverly titled. So, Tara, how did you get into telling stories? Like, where did you find it, and how did you fall in love with it?
Okay. Well, I feel like I always preface that question with this. I'm born and raised in the bar business in New York.
Right.
Local dive bars, you know. So storytelling was like was high art to me by 8 years old. You know, I mean, there was nothing I'd rather do. And I say, you know, it's sort of like being born in a bar and being able to tell a story is like somebody else being born 7 foot tall and being able to play a little basketball.
A little,
you know? Like,
right.
It's innate, you know, it's what I grew up with. So I guess I've always been telling stories. But I came to the Moth, it's a good question. I wonder how long ago it was. I went to one of those story competitions that we were just talking about, the slams at the Bitter End. That's the one in Manhattan.
Famous Bitter End.
And I put my name in the hat. And I got picked. So that's how I got started. I got picked and I got up on stage. And
did you have a story ready or did it all come like you did? You had a story ready. So how did you prepare that story? Like what was the story that you went in with and you felt confident about? And this is the first time you're telling a story in front of people in that kind of setting. Like what was that like?
Oh man, it's a great rush. I mean, first of all, these things are for open mics, right? Like they're actually enormous. The Moth would sell out the Bitter End. They still do. So, you know, maybe 200 people in there. And everyone you should be a little prepared, and people usually are, because there's a theme. And so you have to tell your story. It has to be on theme. The rules are that the story has to be on theme and it has to be about 5 minutes. So you need to kind of have thought it through a little before you show up. You
Good.
Know, I'd say that to anybody,
sure.
right? And then obviously you have to have something in mind that's on the theme. And so, but you know, you can play with it a little bit. Like the theme was Extra Mile. That was the first time I did the Extra Mile. And so I ended up telling this wild story about my mom when I was a kid. You know, my mom had flown me across the country at age 14. This is how it tied into the Extra Mile, to meet her only lesbian friend. One lesbian friend that she had
and
met.
She wanted you to have her. She wanted you to have her meet her. Is that like the
yeah?
That's great.
I mean, it's like a beautiful gesture, right?
Yeah.
I'm kind of butchy. We're on the radio, so I'm just telling people, you know. And my mom had this one butch friend, and it was like this beautiful thing, you know. My mom grew up, you know, very classic Brooklyn Italian Catholic sheltered, you know. So this was like kind of cool that she was like, you know what? I think we got a live one here, you know. I think I'm gonna. I need to, you know, I need to introduce her to the one other person who may be able to, you know, make her feel like it's okay.
Right.
And so it was this really kind of beautiful story
that,
that went crazy and awry and it becomes funny. But that was my first story. Yeah.
That's really great. So you got up there. How nervous were you? Like, did it come?
You're
super nervous.
I mean, you're pretty nervous. I mean, you're I gotta say that there, and there's been a couple of people, you know, people who have climbed, you know, Mount Kilimanjaro, and all these people now who've done the Moth main stage that'll still say that doing the Moth is the scariest thing they ever did.
That's amazing.
You know, because it's just you and a mic, and it's got to be, you know, and there's a lot of vulnerability. I mean, my stories are usually a little funny, but you know, they're still vulnerable, and
right.
So there you are. You know, just yeah.
So you grew up and your dad owned the bar, is that, or your mom owned the bar?
No. My uncle owned the bar and my mom worked there. So she worked there, and then eventually I worked there. And then my dad also had a local bar, like where he was, or, you know, he was the local, he was a regular. And I grew up in that bar too. And I've told stories about both those bars, and I've written stories about both those
yeah.
bars. My first published story ever was about my dad's local bar in Queens, which was an amazing, awesome place that had a nice, you know, hodgepodge of people, which was fun to grow up around, and bar characters and stuff.
Well, so. You can listen to a lot of Tara's stories, video and podcast on TaraClancy.com. I was listening to a couple of the bar stories this week, and the one with Joe, the bartender,
oh,
or the guy, the local, who knew Cantonese, like just randomly
mm-hmm.
knew Cantonese. That's a great story. So when you come up, like, so now you got a couple kids, you have your wife, and like things have calmed down a bit for you, I'm sure, like as growing older does, right? What
mm-hmm.
What kind of ways do you go about like crafting a story today versus the way you did when you were younger?
Well, I don't know if I've changed that much. I mean, I don't know if there's any difference in the way I go about crafting a story just because I got some kids. I think, you know, maybe faster because I got kids. You know, I have like less time to sit around and be a you know, a tortured artist, right?
Like,
just like bang it out, you know, you got a show or I've got a deadline on a book or, you know, whatever I'm writing. So that's the only way in which having children has affected my craft. And I haven't told too many stories about them. I just one. I had one more story that aired a couple months ago about my sons, but I'm just starting to mine that. I got enough stuff from my childhood, you know,
right.
So I haven't had to get into the present.
So is it like, do you want to protect them from the stories, or is it just that you just haven't really fitted in yet?
Yeah, it just hasn't fitted in. I mean, once you start thinking about stories and you know, you realize you have a lot, you know, people say, man, I don't think I have a story. And that's fascinating to me because I could, you know, if I were doing this chronologically, you know, I could probably still be at age 12 or something, you know, like
right.
I've got 10 stories from the age of 12, you know, like I don't know.
Here's a question I have for you, because I do this all the time, because I tell stories of my dad who was absolutely insane, and it's Father's Day. So happy Father's Day to all the fathers out there, your father included, if he's still around. Happy Father's Day to all.
Yes, he is.
Great.
Yep.
Excellent. When I think back on a story, because I have tons of stories from my dad because he was just insane, like I said. But mm-hmm. when I think back on it, like, I don't piece all of the things together. Like, you know, when you're telling a story, sometimes you extend the truth a little bit. Sometimes you stretch this or that or this just to make the story go a little bit better, or, you know, a little bit more entertaining, or a little bit more funny, or a little sadder. Like, what do you do when you can't remember, like, all the details of what the story mm-hmm. was?
Yeah, I'm a stickler. So
yeah.
I'm a stickler. If I don't remember the details, well, one of the things I will do is call my father. It turns out my father is, number one, and this is Father's Day, so I should especially say it, is the best storyteller I've ever met.
That's awesome.
The man can hold court in a bar like nobody's business.
That's awesome.
And he has an amazing memory. So when I was telling stories and then when I was writing my book, especially, I could call my dad and he would really be able to, like, you know, give me the details and remember things that even I didn't. So
That's awesome.
I'll do that. But then, you know, yeah, I don't like to stretch the truth or make it up or, right. you know, fudge it or whatever. I'm pretty much a stickler, but I kind of find a way around it. You are bound by your memory in this too. It's
true.
You know?
So have you ever come a point where you're telling a story and you're like, you forgot like an important crux to the story and you just kind of go, well, then I'm not telling that part of the story.
Yeah, well, I don't know that I ever forgotten the crux.
That's
right?
Good.
Like I've forgotten some details or some tangential stuff, but not, you know, the crux is usually in my mind, or I probably wouldn't have sat down to think up a story about it in the first place, you know?
Right. So how do the stories come about for you? Is it like when you're sitting around and you're like rehashing things, you're like hanging out with your dad, you're hanging out with a friend from, you know, back in the day or whatever. Is that how like it kind of comes about?
Sure. Yeah. I think that's how, you know, I think most people, you know, you kind of like get your best stories because they're things you ended up telling at parties or,
right.
you know, like they were just some stuff that happened to you that you felt other people should know about. And then, oh, you know, what I liked about telling stories in bars is, you know, that they would get better, right?
Yeah.
Like these old dudes and regulars at the bars that I grew up in would hone those stories. And, you know, you got sick of hearing them, but they really did get better for the newbie who walked in that day, you know, and have a beer and got, like, they would just, like, kind of hone them over and over again, and they would get better. And so I think I haven't had to stray, like, from, you know, it's not like I'm, like looking to come up with material, right? So it's like anything that I've told on a stage is something I've just was, you know, something I would tell at a party or a bar or, you know, and it kind of got better, you know, over time. And I got a little better at telling it. And then I would say, all right, you know, this one's ready.
That's really fun. So you're talking about a lot of other people telling stories and being in that kind of scene. How is that scene particularly? Like, how is the storytelling culture? Is it like everyone trying to one-up each other on stories, or is it like a very...
No, I mean, it's not, but it's competitive. And it's funny that, it, you know, it has become a scene, right? Like, I mean, like, you know, in the way that, like, the stand-up has become a scene, or, you know, like, however long ago that was.
Sure.
You know? But, I mean, it has become a scene. Like, there are people who are strictly storytellers, you know, they're not stand-ups or comics or anything else, you know, that's their thing. And there's, you know, and they're watching what each other are doing. And there's, you know, that's like one wing of it, right?
Yeah.
There's a wing of people who are competing and telling stories and trying to get better at the craft of telling stories. You know, that's one wing of the moth. And then there's a whole other part of the moth, which is just, you know, there's no element of that at all. I mean, that was always intended to kind of be just a little bit of fun.
Right.
You know, the competition part of it. It wasn't really supposed to be so serious. And I think there's a couple of people maybe in the scene who've taken it a little too seriously at times.
Sure,
but, you know,
I mean, that happens everywhere, though, right?
On the whole, it's a nice community. I mean,
that's really cool.
Just like, so people are sweet, you know?
That is really cool. Now, do you come across a lot of stand-ups? Like, I'm sure you guys cross paths. You play a lot of the same places. I mean, is there, like, a connotation of, like, oh, you're a storyteller? You're different than us, you know? Is it like that?
I think you probably have. I've heard of both, I guess. I mean, definitely a lot of stand-ups have shown up at the Moth and tried, you know, tried their hand at telling stories, and many of them are really, really good at it. I don't know that as many people who are just storytellers decided they wanted to do stand-up. You know, I think, like, for me, like, I've never actually done any stand-up. People think that I have, and I never have, and I think I'd be terrible, it's not something that I'm interested in. I'm more of a writer, and I think you find that a little bit. You find storytellers are more trying to be, you know, or like also writers.
Right.
Whereas stand-ups are maybe also actors,
sure,
you know?
Sure.
So, but the paths definitely crossed.
Yeah.
And then there's so many stand-ups who really were storytellers, and that was always, you know, what made their comedy good, you know?
Yeah. Is there like a, like what's the, I'm just shooting questions at you. I mean, you could just stop me at any point, but, it's just cause it's fascinating because I too love telling stories, and like, I'm not familiar with the world, and maybe one day I'll come down and maybe, you know, come down and be
You've
part of the
world. You've never been to a moth show?
I've never been to a moth show. I've listened to them on the radio and stuff like that. And I've listened to them, but I've never been. So I have to come down.
Oh,
so if next time, when is the next show that you're putting on?
Oh, they happen. There's one. There's literally one like almost every week or two. So you can go, and it's in Queens, in Manhattan, in several locations of Manhattan, in Brooklyn. I mean, they're constant. They're super, super popular. It's
I'm
amazing.
Sure. When is the next one that you're hosting?
I'm not hosting one in New York for a while. I just did the ball, and so I've got nothing. Yeah, and what you want, and you don't want to, you can't kind of show up to what I
oh,
do
no.
and put your name in
no,
the hat.
No, of course not. I'm yeah. saying I want to come down and, like, see it first. You know, like, kind of hang out,
yeah.
witness it, see you work.
Go to the Bell House. Right, go to the one at the Bell House. You're in Brooklyn, right? So go
well,
to the one
yeah,
at the Bell
right
House.
Now I am. I live in Queens, too, but, yeah, I'm in Brooklyn right now.
Okay.
Well, all right.
There's one
I'll
in
come
Queens.
Down.
We just got one in Queens, which, you know, I'm from Queens, so that makes me, I'm happy that my borough finally got him off.
Yeah. Which part of Queens did you grow up in?
I grew up in, my parents were divorced. So my father lived in Broad Channel, which is out near the Rockaways.
Okay. Yeah.
And so I grew up there. And then my mom lived in Belrose.
Okay. So,
and,
like, pretty far,
you know,
out.
I went to high school in Jamaica. Yeah. So everywhere. I grew up in all, I always said, the farthest flung eastern reaches of Queens.
That's crazy. That's wild. That's really cool. Yeah, I watched one of those videos where you were walking around and you were talking about the house that you grew up in. It was really a really nice little video where you were talking about the story of you growing up in that house, and then next door to it was like a VFW type of thing, and there was just parties there all the time. That was really nice.
Thank you.
Yeah. Well, one of my other questions is, so you also do podcasts, right?
Mm-hmm.
What's the difference between the difference and which one do you like better? Like, doing a live show, being on stage, to doing the podcast where, you know, it's much more, it doesn't have the live feel, or it doesn't have the, you know, crowd or something like that. Like, what is your preference, and, like, what do you find the differences to be?
You know, all right. Well, I mean, a live show is better because, you know, you know, there's nothing like getting people laughing at you in a big, the Moth show that I host, lately, they're big, you know, 2,000 seat theater.
Yeah.
And I mean, I never thought, you know, whoever thought that storytelling would be that big of a deal, that you could be up, you know, in front of 2,000 people. But man, I mean, that's a heck of a rush, right?
Yeah.
Getting that many people, you know, laughing at you, or even just listening to you.
Right.
So, I mean, that, you know, I would have to say that's my preference. But at the same time, I do, you know, I love the podcast because, you know, I like the, you know, the ones that I've done that aren't, you know, I've done podcasts where they've taken live stories of mine and put them on a podcast. But I've also done, like, this kind of thing we're doing, like an interview. And I like, you know, I like that, too, because there's no nerves. You know, you're just like, I'm just going to kind of talk and be myself, and That's fun.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, that's why I like doing radio, especially this type of radio, where it's very relaxed. You know, you got an hour to just kind of, like, unwind and get things off your chest, get on a soapbox and do whatever you got to do. And then every once in a while you have someone cool on where you can talk about something like this. You know, it's like, it's fun. It's, but I like I'm a musician, so I understand the live aspect of it. And that thrill of a live thing and being in front of people, It's like a drug. It obviously is. It's like crazy adrenaline. It's really exciting. But then there's also something so intimate about the podcast or the radio show where it's like you are that person. Like, you are that person's companion on their way to work, or you are that person's companion when you're making dinner. There's something very intimate about that. And it's
and you know what else I would add is that there's an extra level of, like, distance between you and, you know, whoever the audience is.
Right.
And so maybe you'll be a little more vulnerable. Like, I found the same thing is true with my writing. You know, like, when there are things I would write, and there are things that I did write and put in my book that I have yet to have the courage to tell on stage. You know, like, I don't know that I want to be in the room when somebody's listening to that story. And you know, I know that you know, I'd like to get there one day.
Yeah.
I've seen some of the most powerful stories are where people can get up at that mic and really reveal something, you know, but be that vulnerable.
Right.
But I'm not quite there. But
not quite there.
And then when I'm writing and there's that separation, you know, obviously I'm not watching you read my book.
Right, exactly.
And the same with the podcast, where I'm like, I'm not watching you. So I'll be, you know, a little more vulnerable.
Yeah, I could see that. That's really.
And speaking of books, hey, Tara, this is Giggles over here in Colorado.
There he is.
I've been sort of, you know, sitting back co-pilot here, letting Dave take the wheel of things. But
Hi.
Speaking of writing, you do have a book. Hey, how are you?
Good.
So I was a Queens resident for about 10 years. And
I was looking, doing a little research on you, and you've got a book coming out here, or it's already out here. The Clancy's of Queens, is that it? Tell me a little bit about this. This book, and then how it's doing.
Sure. So the book came out in October, and it was great. It was published by Crown. It was exciting. It got chosen as a Discover Great New Writers pick by Barnes and Noble. And so that was a kind of great thing, because it means that it was in every Barnes and Noble. It's a nice honor to have. And so it's a memoir. It's about me, it's growing up in Queens, and that's the generally speaking, and all my stories, a lot of my stories that I've told on The Moth and stuff like that are in there, and they've been just expanded. In one way it's about, my mom, one of my big Moth stories, and then the story that was also published I published in the New York Times Magazine Live section was about my mom being the cleaning lady for this very wealthy man after my parents split. And they fell in love. My mom was with this guy for 22 years, and I've told a lot of stories about that relationship. And so I had this kind of dual life where I went from living in Queens to every other weekend, going out to this guy's mansion in the Hamptons and the duplex in the city, which my mom used to clean. And so there's that kind of wild stuff. But also there haven't been hardly any books written by a working class New York woman about us in an outrageously long amount of time, especially anything with a household name. So basically the last book that anybody could think of was A Tree Grows in Brooklyn, which is, 74 years old this year. What I want to do, or what I did in my book and what I try to do in my stories, is I want to get the stories of working class New York women out there. We don't really have a voice. So that was another reason that I wrote the book. And there's a lot of, about my grandma and my mom and some of the girls I grew up with, who are just, great characters, sure. Badasses, just the kind of women we need to know more about.
Right. New York characters, New York women characters, strong, mm-hmm. working class New York characters. Yeah, totally.
Now, do you think you're going to, are you going to live in New York the rest of your life, or do you ever want to move out? Are you one of those
I'm
lifers?
Here forever. I'm a lifer. I can't imagine myself living anywhere else. I'm a fifth generation native New Yorker. I feel almost an obligation.
Did you win it? Because I was listening to a lot of the stories of you went with the rich guy that your mom married. Did you feel like an outsider or like a scam, like that whole time when you were like going back and forth between the Hamptons and going back to Queens? Did you feel like I don't belong here? Like, what is happening?
Yeah, I mean, it was definitely, it's a wild thing, but I realized much later in life, because the truth is when I was in it, and I was in it almost my whole life, it was all I knew. So it didn't seem strange to me at all. And I grew up like entirely Queens, really, right? My mom, one of her big things was that, is that she didn't take any money from him. She was happy to have a boyfriend. They were together for 22 years, but they never lived together. And she really was strong and sort of feeling like, I want to raise my kid my way, and that has to mean on my dime. So my mom, we never lived with him. And so it was always, I would say, it was kind of like this taste, not a ticket to that world.
Right.
And so it never really felt like mine. But also he was a really cool guy and a self-made guy and not like some rich schmuck, hung around with jerks. Like, and it was largely just us. And then he got very close with my mom's family, which was like a whole bunch of Brooklyn Italians,
right.
Really became his family. So, we basically could have been in Queens or Brooklyn because it was all of us. It was the same crowd of people, the same food, the same, the same parties. But we were like happened to be at this big giant house.
Right. Do you still keep in contact with them now?
I kept in contact with him. He died 2 years ago, actually, right as I was writing the book, which kind of sucked. But
yeah.
He was in his 80s, so it wasn't a sort of tragic thing.
Right.
But it was. Sad that he didn't actually get to see the book be published, although he did get to, he read my piece in the Times Magazine, and
nice.
He knew that I was writing it. And
that's really cool.
He
was there for it. He knew all the stories, so
mm-hmm,
so he knew what was going on.
That's really cool. All right. Hold on, Tara.
I got to ask you this question.
One question.
Are you at Tara Clancy on Instagram? Because I feel like Dave tagged somebody.
Tagged the wrong person.
Because you said you got a couple of boys. And this is there's a picture of you with a girl.
I'm not on Instagram.
Oh, there it is. I tagged someone. Dave tagged them totally wrong. My apologies,
you
Tara.
You totally tagged the wrong Tara Clancy.
My apologies, Tara. I did not know that. I tagged the wrong Tara. Yeah, my apologies.
I'm on Twitter at Tara Clancy NYC because there are so many. I had to do Tara Clancy NYC because there are so many Tara Clancys in Ireland. I don't have Instagram, guys.
That's all right. That's okay. One more question. Like, all right, so what are some you don't have to reveal anything, obviously, but what are some, like, techniques you use when structuring a story? Like, that interests me, you know? Like, what kind of, like, tips and tricks do you use to, like, okay, this is the trick that I know, and I'm going to put it here, and it's, you know, like that sort of thing, if that makes sense.
All right. Well, I mean, the Moth really does a good job. I'm not going to say anything that they wouldn't say, because they really have, on their website, they have that very thing, tips and tricks for telling stories. Uh-huh. And I think I did it on my own, like, naturally. I just, again, growing up in a bar, I kind of knew that that's what you did. But one of the things I would say is, I mean, like, the first thing is, you know, stories have to have stakes, and the Moth's always telling people that too. Like, you have to have some pretty high stakes, and you want to start, like, right in, you know, in the middle. You know, a lot of people will start as, like, well, I was coming home from work, and I was walking on the street, and you're like,
nobody wants to hear that.
You don't want to do that. You know, you always want to, like, jump people right in and kind of grab them from the first line with those stakes. And another tip I would say is, like, stories that take place just in one kind of moment in time are, like, a good place to start. Like, once you get really good at stories, you can kind of jump time. You know, you can, like, flash back or flash forward and have fun with that. But stories that tend to be, you know, the best stories tend to be ones where you're just, like, right in that moment, something, you know, crazy is happening and you never leave, right? You just kind of stay right in time.
Right.
That would be another tip I would say for a first time.
So, like, the first timers, like, start small. Like, start with, like, a period of time that's really short. Get across what you want to get across, and then end it. Like, that would be, like, the best tip for a starter. Like, keep it simple, keep it short.
Yeah, don't do any, like, flashbacks and flash forwards and those, you know, using those kind of devices. I think, you know, there's got to be one story you have where the whole thing just happens to, you know, it just takes place in one amount of time. You don't need to use flashbacks or flash forwards or too much, like, exposition,
right?
You know, in order to make it make sense. And so, and start with something that's got some pretty high stakes and start right in them, you know, like the Moth, I think they have something they sort of say, don't say, like, well, I was thinking about climbing a mountain and I was walking, you know, wondering about it. And I was writing that. It's like, you know, start with, like, so I'm halfway up the mountain.
Right.
You know,
right. And now very good tips. Now, when you talk about people, I mean, because storytelling, it's a lot like writing, where, like, you're writing about someone. So you're giving him the background that the audience needs for them to understand who this person is and how their part is going to play into the story. Like, how do you, like, go about defining someone in your story? That's basically the question.
How do I go about defining? I'm not even sure if I understand.
It's just something I was thinking off the top of my head. But, like, when you start to tell a story about somebody in particular, like, how do you go about, like, okay, so this person, I'm going to tell a story about this person, and then how do you go back and be like, I'm going to bring...
All right, well, number one, especially as a Moth, I mean, everybody has different things, but, and the Moth, and I would just say in general, you don't want to be telling stories about other people, right? Like, if a story isn't really about you, like, obviously, we're not, you know, we don't, like, live alone, but, you know, stories usually involve other people.
Sure.
But I've seen that mistake. Like, somebody will go up and kind of tell somebody else's story.
Sure.
Even if it's, like, somebody close, like your mother or your father, something happened to your mother or your father that's amazing. Like, that's not really your story. You know, like...
See, this is great. This is exactly what I was getting at. Perfect. Yeah. Tell other people's stories.
Don't tell other people's stories, right? It's got to be the stakes. And the other thing a Moth would say is, like, a really good story is where within the course of the story, you change, like, the change, something, like, there's stakes, right? But, and And you kind of start in the action. And then the other thing is that, like, you have to change in the course of the story, right? Mm. Like, it isn't just, like, about you climbing the mountain. It's, like, something in you changed because you climbed the mountain. You know, you thought you couldn't climb the mountain because of X, Y, and Z, and then you found out you couldn't, and then that sort of changed your outlook. But that change is important. And so the only way you can kind of tell stories about that that are, you know, even a little bit about other people is as long as the point of the story is your change, you know?
Right. I think that what I was getting at, like, is like if someone affected you in your life and then like trying to explain to other people, you know, how they did it and how kind of a person they are that they changed you. You know, it's a tricky thing as storyteller.
Yeah, it is. I mean, you said you listened to my story about Joe Bird, who was a bar regular at the bar where I grew up, and was this guy who I thought was one thing, right? And I thought he was basically, you know, a construction worker, you know, type of guy.
Sure.
And pretty simple. And I end up finding out he has this whole secret double life I knew nothing about, and he spoke fluent Cantonese.
It's amazing.
And, like, all this stuff. But that story is really about me, kind of, in some ways. It's about me learning that, you know, they don't judge a book by its cover. You know, it's a little simple, but it was, you know, having had the background that I had and having felt judged a lot and people, you know, thinking I was one thing, being a woman from Queens. And then, you know, it was like, here I was kind of doing it again.
Right.
And that guy, you know, he kind of forever changed the way I looked at people. You know, I was about, and that story, I think I'm about 21 years old, but, you know, it was like that kind of really drove it home for me. And so that's how, even though that story is a lot about who he was, it's about me, you know?
Yeah. Right. And then that's kind of like the overall thing of tips of storytelling. Make it about you and make it about kind of like a change in your life, whether it's because of someone or because of something. That's kind of like the overall goal of how you tell a story in your deli.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah. TaraClancy.com. I love it.
Yeah.
Thanks for joining us. I'm sure your kids are probably watching TV and probably going, where's mom? Where is she?
I know. I can kind of keep a little, I keep peeking over there. So don't let anybody think I've just like abandoned them. You know,
of course.
I kind of peek in and there's a good end of a long Sunday. So they're kind of happily zoning out.
Nice.
And,
what'd you guys do this weekend? Anything fun?
Yeah, you know, we had a birthday party today. We did laser tag. Laser tag has entered our lives. At age, my oldest son will be 7, and it's like we've just started laser tag birthday parties.
Yeah.
Which is like, wow, you know, it's mind-blowingly great stuff.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
We did a little of that, yeah.
Nice. So you're enjoying life. You're enjoying telling stories and writing. Are you writing any new books coming up?
I am. I'm gonna start working on a second book pretty soon. We'll see. It is about my family, my sons, my wife, who's now my ex-wife. We're divorcing, but I feel like we kind of need the gay family story.
Sure.
You know, like we've had the coming out stories, and we need those. But we're ready for, like, you know, the family story. People are kind of always asking us how we had kids, and I get it. You know, I'm like, we need that. I've joked, I've called it also kind of like a lesbian Annie Hall, because my ex is from the Midwest. I'm obviously from New York, and you know, we're missing kind of love stories and family stories, and so that's my next book.
Well, that's very nice. Well, when you write it again, I would love to have you on. We'll talk about it. I'll get it. I'll read it. We'll talk about it. And then I'm going to keep a lookout for when you come through New York, and I will totally come say hi.
Come to a moth show.
I will.
Really, you should come to a moth. You should go to the one in the Bell House of Queens and put your name in the hat.
I will. I have plenty of stories.
There you go.
I love it. Tara, thank you for coming on. I really appreciate it. You're welcome to call back anytime if you want to come on, tell stories. I would love it. You're a friend to Dave and Giggles now, so don't be a stranger, obviously.
All
you're
right,
welcome.
Man. Well, take care. It was really nice talking to you guys.
Yeah, it was good talking to you too, Tara.
All right, bye.
Bye. There you go. You were real quiet.
She's got stories.
She's got stories.
Well, you were asking all the questions. I couldn't jump in.
You jumped
there.
You did good. You did good on those questions. Because I'm looking over at you, and you're like
zoned out. Your eyes are like somewhere else. I'm like, he's not listening. There's no way he's listening.
I'm listening.
You're
listening. Listening.
You are. You do listen.
I was with it.
You listen more than I do. That's
she
for sure.
A lot of time. We got 15 minutes left.
We got 15 minutes left. Oh, let me call. There was someone who wanted to call in. I want to see if we can get him to call in. Hold on. That was pretty cool. I really liked having her on. Tara was good.
I wanted to ask her about sort of current events, but I felt like she didn't want to talk about that.
Yeah, you know? I mean, being a Queens girl and, you know, having Donald Trump growing up in Queens, I bet you she had quite an opinion on the whole thing. But let's get friends with her first before we go down that.
Warm her up a little.
Warm her up a little bit. Yeah.
Can't just go.
It's good.
Pull on in there.
Oh man.
Oh,
you look good over there. Jeez.
Feeling good.
It's hot in New York today. Yeah. Real hot.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. So it's a good beach day, but I didn't end up going down. I just kind of hung out. So what are you doing over there?
I'm just hanging out. I got some notes.
All right, let's see those notes.
Yeah, it's just headlines. I don't know if we want to dive into it. Can you
that's
imagine
all you got?
A news reporter that's like, yeah, we've got some headlines.
We have
but
some
I just
headlines.
Really don't feel like talking about them.
Well, I mean, that's kind of like I was watching New York One this morning, and it's really funny. Because you got that guy who just reads the paper every morning on like the weekends. He just goes through the paper. He goes, okay, on page 2, the headline is this. And he just talks about what's in the paper. It's the most amazing show that I don't understand how it's a show.
Yeah. Who's the black guy that like looks like he's just kind of sleeping sometimes?
Oh, Errol, something or other. That guy's so great. He does all the political stuff too. And now that the political thing is all heated up, like everyone comes on and starts getting really angry, and he's like, "Well, let's just calm down." He's great though. He really is. New York One is like some of my favorite all-time television because it's as local as you get, but it's also New York City. You know, so it's like
When you turn on the TV, it goes immediately to that station.
Right, exactly. So you're bound to see something about it. And then it like kind of catches you for a little bit. You find yourself watching it and you're like, why am I watching New York One? What is this? I've been watching it for two hours, recycling news stories. Yeah, it's pretty funny.
I saw that one dude at a catering event years ago with the eyebrows. What was his name?
Oh, George Whipple?
He's
the movie guy?
I think so.
Yeah, yeah, that guy.
They are nuts.
They are nuts.
Those eyebrows are out of hand.
Those eyebrows are out of hand. That's what Ryan's going to look
How
like.
How many times
day.
Do you think somebody was probably like, hey, can we just trim them back a little bit? But that's like his
calling. That is his look. That is his look.
People know him. You know, you got to stand out.
Yeah, it is. That's his look. And like when you're on TV, that's what you're going for. You're going for a look. Like when you're on radio, nobody cares what you look like.
No, but you look good though. You got the sunglasses hanging down.
I got the open chest, no shirt.
Down. It's warm. A little bit of chest hair.
Yeah, you look good over there. You look like you just got back from a wedding. You got like the pullover shirt. You look nice.
Thanks, bud. Thanks.
You got to take a picture of your new studio. I want to see it. You got it all set up over there. It looks good.
Yeah, I'm using my mic. I'm using my inbox. You know,
you got the mic stand. You look all sorts of fabulous.
Professional.
What did you started out and you were upstairs? Is that what happened? I saw the wife. I think I saw some people in the background. What was going on up there?
Yeah, well, my mom's in town, so my mom came in for a couple days. She got in on a Friday, and then we went up to Vail. We stayed up at the timeshare for a couple nights, which was real nice.
Nice.
And then
did you have any? I mean,
Wednesday
being like Father's Day. Did you have any like? What was dad like when you guys were growing up, when you guys first met? You should go down that alley. You should interview your mom, find out how they got together.
Yeah. Well, I think I've asked. Yeah, well, you were talking to me. I didn't really get a chance to jump in there, but my dad was a great storyteller, too.
He was.
You know, like, what is it called? When I was a kid, he would, you know, I'd stay over at his place because, my parents were separated.
Sure.
And, you know, he'd always just have these great stories because he was a corpsman. In the Vietnam War, over at Andrews Air Force Base, which is in D.C.,
right,
that's where he met my mom.
Yeah,
so he met my
mom.
They were in the Air Force, and he would get the soldiers coming off. I think I've told you this
before. Yeah, I've heard it before, but I mean, some people don't.
Planes, and you know, they'd work the night shift, and you know, his job was to make sure that the soldiers or the airmen were comfortable. You know, when they got off, so you know, dress their bandages, do whatever they can to make them comfortable, and you know, just. I think it was the 60s, you know, so it was like an interesting time. And, you know,
yeah. Things were hopping.
All these crazy stories that some of the soldiers would tell him. So he would tell me these stories. And, sort of fascinated me about sort of, you know, wanting to join the military, but then, you know.
Yeah, then you grew up and you were like, why would I ever join the military? That sounds like a terrible idea. But your mom was a nurse.
I would mouth off to somebody.
Your mom was a nurse, right?
Or something.
Your mom was a nurse. What's that? Your mom was a nurse, and that's how she met your dad. Was it like kind of like an inner office kind of like love affair? I bet it was. I bet you it was pretty taboo.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I don't think it was taboo. I mean, they were both nurses. So they were both like doing the same job.
Yeah.
And then I think, I kind of feel like my dad was, I don't know if my dad was engaged or he had a girlfriend or something. Oh, yeah, this is a good story. So, well, I'll try to give it justice. But I think my dad was sort of like, he gave a ring to this this girl, you know, before he met my mom, of course. And I guess the girl, like, when he went back to New York or something to, like, so he was in New York with my mom. And I guess the girl came over or something and found them there and, like, you know. I don't know if this is the same story.
Terrible,
but I know
storytelling.
The girl, the previous girlfriend, threw the ring at him and was like, "Thanks for that," or something. "Thanks for nothing," and threw the ring at him. And
that was it.
You know, I don't know if my mom was there. It was just, you know, not a good.
You know, what would have been ballsy if he picked up the ring and handed it to your mom, and she was like, "This is for you. This is for you."
You go.
I think we got Pete on the line.
Hey guys.
Hey buddy, what's going on?
Pete Pigeon.
Dude, So I tried to video conference in the whole time, forgetting that I also had to use the phone. I was thinking that it was video chat only, bonehead move. I listened to the whole show. It was great.
Oh, nice. Did you enjoy Tara? I felt like she was a pretty good guest.
She was great, yeah.
She was really great.
She knows how to talk to people and like be engaging and stuff, so that's a plus.
Yeah, we don't. We have no idea.
Good tips for Dave. Good tips for Dave.
All right, listen.
Pete is actually coming to Colorado July 15th. Let's plan this out. Let's do a little on-air production meeting.
Ooh,
you want
nice.
To do a show. We're going to do a show in Vail, or are we going to do a show in what are you doing out in Colorado? And then do a show?
I'll be playing with my band Funk at the Joyride Brewing anniversary party in Edgewater, right on Sloan Lake there.
Okay.
It's weird having you guys on together. Like, I feel like I have a separate show with either of you, and having you together is really weird. So you're gonna be in.
I don't smell that bad.
So you're gonna be in. So hash it out, talk it out. Let's get this show going.
Right. Yeah. Let's. Do you live in Vail?
Me? No. I live in Aurora.
Oh, so okay. Even better.
I'm in Denver.
Yeah, I'll be staying in Aurora, so that works out great.
Oh, nice.
Yeah,
we'll figure it out.
You should stay with us, man. Well, I mean, you know, I mean, you can. If you've already got a place.
Stay with us.
You can definitely crash there.
Yeah. If I need one, then that would be very kind. I'd be down with it. Are you doing the Father's Day thing today?
Well, it's not really a thing. I didn't really do too good on Mother's Day, so I don't think I'm, you know.
What does that mean?
Yeah, didn't you blow it pretty bad?
Well, I kind of blow it every
year.
Holiday.
Yeah,
like
right.
Mother's Day, birthday, you know.
You just don't follow through.
Anniversary.
Yeah.
I just, oh, it's well, always
did
kind
you
of
you forget you had a mom just... or you had a wife or something? Or like, what happened?
That's a good question. What happened, buddy?
What do you mean? Like,
what happened on Mother's Day?
Really
how'd you blow it?
I didn't really knock it out of the park. We always talk about this, but like, you know, the day comes around and I've sort of haven't planned properly. And, you know, I'll try to sleep in, you know, on Mother's Day. And that doesn't fly.
Doesn't fly.
You know? Sleeping in on Mother's Day, yeah.
But you know what?
Not always.
You're not going out for a pack of cigarettes and never coming back. So at least you got
going,
you know? You may take your kids to open houses and do some weird things with them, but you're there. That's important.
It's true.
Right.
It's true. You just got to show up.
He didn't give a ring to somebody else and then have her throw it at her, you know.
No. So
I was at a wedding.
We need you to come down. We need you to come to Aurora. We got another bearded dude coming in.
Yeah, we got.
We need you to come to Aurora, come in the basement, and we'll hang out, we'll jam, and we'll record it, and we'll do the show from here.
I love that.
Oh, that sounds great, man. I'm down.
Let's do it. We can do a pre-recorded, you know, if it doesn't work on a Sunday, and then we'll blast it.
Yeah,
that's even better, man, because I may be flying out at some point Sunday. So if we did it Sunday morning or Saturday day, you know, that'd be really cool.
We could do a pre-record.
Oh, check this out, Pete. Let's do the photo shoot that I've been talking about for months. Let's do some, let's get you with your guitar or whatever in the field or whatever kind of you know, let's do your new album cover or something. Let's make that happen.
Sounds good, man. No pants, right?
No pants.
No pants at all.
Never any pants. Isn't that your standard?
He's not wearing pants right now.
No pants photo shoot. You got to take that photo down, Dave.
Which one?
That's old.
Which one? The one of us?
The one of me with my pants down.
Oh, that's a good shot.
That
shot,
Joe
though.
Shot at his studio.
That was a long
party
time
we had
ago.
At his studio.
That was, oh, no.
That was like years into us doing podcasts, too. So, I mean, if it's that old, it just shows how long we've been around.
It's true. It's true. Pete, do you have anything to say here? Tell us what's going on, because you called in.
Yeah.
And we're just sort of
yeah,
talking over
it. Want to call and say hi and... Love listening to Tara get down there. I've got a book called Hampton 98, which is a memoir about me following fish around from 1994 to 1998. And I wrote a whole long story about that, 300-page book about it. So her program is amazing. I've always listened to it. And, you know, I don't have maybe the drama that they're looking for, but who knows? You know, there's drugs. There's chicks.
I think the idea of storytelling, it doesn't have to be that kind of drama based. It just has to be
cool.
Like, it just has to do something that like is entertaining or sad or just something compelling. I think that's really it.
Right.
Yeah. We've got another guest in the studio.
Yeah, compelling is true. Because, you know, you always hear the stories and it's like, yeah, and then my dad beat me and then blah, blah, blah.
Sure. Those are good stories too. But, you know, Giggles beats his kids all the time. No, he doesn't. Not on Father's Day, at least.
Not only on Mother's Day.
Only
that's
on
the
Mother's
one day,
day
that I don't beat him.
That's a one day. We got next show host in studio.
Barry Champlain. Barry. First of all, I want to say thank you guys for covering.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
How did that go, the 3 hour?
It was 3 hours.
Well, you know what? I don't know if you told your co-host. Did you see on the stats?
No.
That you guys were on the leaderboard for live listeners.
Oh,
that
nice.
Show. Yep.
For under your right. name or under our name?
Under my name, but it was your show. So I'm sure people just carried
nice.
Over from.
Yeah. That's cool.
Because we're never on their live. I mean, I'm not on their live. So I'm sure it was
right.
you. It wasn't me.
That's good. That's good to know. Yeah. Because like I always look at that and like, not on the list.
Yeah.
Not on the list. Yeah. So that you were on the list, which means that we were on the list.
Yeah.
And
we
were all on the list.
Yep.
So that's great.
Yep.
So it was a 3 hour show.
What was the topic?
We had a lot of people call in. We had who did we have that day? We had a guy from college. He was a professor and he was a scientist, like deep water scientist.
Oh,
so he was talking about that. He rambled on a lot. He was cool, but he rambled on a lot. Then I had one of my friends who's also a scientist. It's kind of like a science themed show. She was really big into the pipeline stuff, and then also she's a scientist trying to cure cancer. So we talked to her a little bit about that. So it's very science theme, but I mean, it's 3 hours. Like we kind of like
stretched it out a little
stretched
bit.
Everything out a bit.
Nice.
Yeah. Let me tell Barry what my wife said. So my wife was like, 1 hour is good, 2 hour is kind of like, 3 hours, why? Ooh. But I said it wasn't a great idea, but we did it.
Yeah,
we had the opportunity.
It. Yeah.
You know, and we did it.
Yeah.
You know,
a lot of other people do long podcasts. Worth
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
Well, think about those teams that do morning radio
every
morning, like do 5 hours.
Yeah, that's crazy.
4 hours.
Definitely towards the end, I was like, please hurry up. We need the show to end. I'm running out of things to like ramble about. But it was a lot of fun. It really was.
Good.
If you need to cover again, let
definitely.
Us know.
I appreciate it. And same for you. Yeah. I saw that. How was Roger Waters?
Oh, that was really cool. So I think I talked about it on that show or maybe after that.
Yeah. But
I was talking
about
with Pete.
About it.
Yeah.
The rehearsal.
So it was like a dress rehearsal show that I got
for the
friend
Wall
for
tour.
It wasn't the Wall tour, it was the Us and Them tour.
Oh,
it's
right,
the one he's on right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it was a dress rehearsal, so there was like 1,000 people there. And it was at the Izod, which is right next to MetLife, and we could go wherever we want. We can get really close or we can go sit in the audience. It was really amazing. But the best part about it was I took a picture. So at the end, he has these pillars in the middle of the audience that creates the prism, and then they shoot lights through it so they make it look like the dark side cover.
Yeah.
It was really fucking badass. Really badass. Like the light show alone was really great. And the musicians were really great. He's obviously the only one in that band from Pink Floyd.
Whatever. Yeah.
It's like the best Pink cover Floyd band you can find. So I took a picture of it and I posted it on Instagram and I hashtag Roger Waters. And then the next day I get like a message be like, yo, Roger Waters just reposted your picture.
Oh, that's awesome.
So yeah, he reposted two pictures and one of them was mine.
I was always a Syd Barrett guy.
Me too.
But I don't know if you saw Rolling Stone put out like a big Pink Floyd special issue.
Yeah.
And after reading I had a lot more respect for Roger Waters. As far as like how
central
he is to that band.
Yeah, yeah. He definitely is. I mean, we got 10 seconds left.
Well, tell me your theory of Floyd.
I mean, Gilmore, it's so hard. I got 4 seconds. There's always the dichotomy in bands. Yes. And they're